Hi, my name is Sarah Berry, and I am 54 years old, almost 55. But today's date is Saturday, March the 13th, 2021. And we're all happy that 2020 is over. I am in Mississippi at my home office right now in Tupelo, Mississippi. And the name of my conversation partner is Juanita Floyd. And she is my very dear friend that we have written a book together. And I've just been grateful with her friendship over the past several years. So Juanita, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Cosette Juanita Floyd. My age is 59, soon to be 60. Today's date is Saturday, March 13th, 2021. I am located in Tupelo, Mississippi, actually at my office. Create Foundation is where I work. The name of my partner, of course, is Sarah Berry. And as she has already stated, she's my dear, dear friend.
And I guess, Juanita, we can start this conversation.
Yes.
Maybe just sort of reminiscing a little bit about how we met. I remember it clearly. Do you?
I remember it clearly. I do.
Well, on my end, I was actually on family vacation, and a mutual friend of ours called me and said that asked me if I knew Juanita, and I said, you know, I've heard of her name. We live in the same city, small city, and but I had not met her. And he said, I think you need to meet and you need to hear her story. And I'm an author and have written books before. And he said, I think you would be interested in hearing her story. So when we came back from vacation, I contacted Juanita, and she began to share her story. And I was just overwhelmed with how beautiful it was and what a necessary message, Juanita, that your story is, that the world just really needs to hear. And I have been blessed to be your friend. At first, we just started working together about maybe putting together a children's book about her story, and called Summer of 1969. And that was great as working partners, but along the way we became much more than working partners. We became very good friends, and I'm very grateful for you, Juanita. And I think it's safe to say that we have a common faith, and we are both Christians, and I think that lends itself to our you know, feeling like we're more sisters. Though we don't look anything alike, but we're more sisters than anything else. But I really just wanted to give you space to just be able to, let's reminisce about your story, because I never tire of hearing it. So I just kind of want to toss the ball to you and say, remind me of this beautiful story.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I am happy to share my story and what I really love about our friendship. Yes, I happen to be Black. She happens to be white, but that transcends what the world, everything that's going on in the world today. I think it's beautiful that we can come together and be good friends. And through my mother's story, it's really my mother's story. It's about how my mother prepared me for integration during 1968-69. And how beautiful for two women to come together, one Black, one white, to come together and write a story about redemption, write a story about love. So I'm going to share my story today and just start it off the way I normally present when we're together. In the summer of July 1975, a 14-year-old girl was rescued from the bottom of a swimming pool at a local apartment complex in Tupelo. The rescuer was sitting outside in a swing on that beautiful Saturday morning when he was hysterically summoned, "Mister, please come help me. My sister's in the pool." The teenager was estimated to have been underwater anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes. An ambulance was called, and the young girl was taken to the hospital unconscious. She was unconscious for a day and a half. Her family was told that due to the lack of oxygen for over 10 minutes, she probably would have brain damage and would possibly be a vegetable for the rest of her life. The rescuer, who became a friend and mentor to the young girl, was Mr. Junior Smith, a former banker in Tupelo. The 14-year-old girl was me, Juanita Gambrell Floyd. I always share this testimony because I truly could not be talking or speaking before you today. My story revolves around the journey of a woman who believed in a dream, a woman who influenced, inspired, and made a difference with only an eighth grade education. She was an unsung hero. Her first job was working in the cotton fields. Her second job, working as a maid. Some employers treated her as a human being. Others treated her quite ugly and unfairly. Her sweet, loving husband died, leaving her a single parent. She then worked at a factory for over 20 years, standing on her feet day after day. Her hands and feet were gnarled and arthritic. Her fingernails and toenails were fungus covered, but she kept on working. She knew she had to provide for her family. She believed in her dream that her children would fare better than she had. Then school integration happened. How does a mother prepare a child for difficult circumstances? And how does a mother create in the child an unshakable confidence in who he or she is and what that child can achieve? In the summer of 1969, the pivotal year of school integration, I just finished first grade at B.F. Ford Elementary in New Albany, Mississippi. My mother told me that I was going to a new school for second grade. I asked if my friends would be there. She said, probably not, but I would make new friends. Every day during the summer of 1969, my mother asked me, what is your name, your given name? And I'd say, Mama, you know my name. What is your name, your given name? I would reply, my name is Cosette Juanita Gambrell. While she was working outside in the garden, I would often ask her to play with me, like she always did when she came home from work. But that summer, she always answered by saying no. Why don't you sit over there and read your books? This happened every day during that summer. In August, the night before school, my mother said to me, you will meet new children. The only difference is your skin is brown and theirs is white, but you're all special children. We arrived at school. I was the only little Black girl in the entire second grade at that time. Now, there were other Black students, just not in my grade. My mother filled out the necessary papers. Then we walked together over to the teacher. She said to the teacher, I trust you with my child. I am confident that you will protect her, teach her, and love her. By the way, when she is on the playground, would you allow her to carry her little satchel of books with her? She then placed my hand in the teacher's hand. Imagine how my mother felt when she left her baby girl on the first day of school with white strangers, not knowing if she had prepared me enough or if I would survive the first day. She later told me after leaving the classroom, as she walked down that long hallway with tears in her eyes, she never looked back, because if she had, as any precious mother would do to protect her child, she would have scooped me up in her arms and ran, but she didn't. Later that day at recess, I went over to the merry-go-round to play. when the children would not play with me. I went over to the teacher, got my little satchel of books, and simply read. Other days on the playground, many of the children called me names, and you can imagine what they called me. Guess what I said? Oh no, that's not my name. My name is Cosette Juanita Gambrell. Later, when I would tell my mother what happened each day on the playground, my mother would always gently say, give it a few more days. These are children. They will want to play. I now am amazed by the wisdom of my mother that summer before school began. Her unusual tactics actually had a very subtle purpose to prepare me for the trials I would face. I'm happy to say that I went to school with those same students from the second to the 12th grade. We became best friends, and they honored me in high school by electing me as an officer to various clubs. The school administration allowed me to work in the office, the school store, and I made the majority of intercom announcements to the entire school each day. My mother was so wise by constantly saying to me, you will be a light. You will love. You will not hate. Every night I would hear my mother praying, Lord, let the heart of a child come forth. After I got older, I realized my mother knew that if the heart of a child came forth, the children would not see color. Imagine if you were hated and mistreated because of the color of your skin. When I would say, Mama, the students don't like me. Mama, I hate them. Mama would say, you gotta love, baby. You can't hate. Mama, the boys stick out their legs and trip me. They throw spitballs at me every day. When I go to the restroom, the white girls say, here comes the end. Let's see what stall she uses because we don't want to use the same stall. My mother kept on praying. Can you imagine Mama's pain? But she kept saying to me, you still must love. The majority of time in school, I was the only Black in my classes. Mama talked to me all the time about an education. She said, you must get an education. That's the only way you can do better than me. The day I graduated from Ole Miss, I walked up to Mama, who had tears streaming down her face, and I said, Mama, this is yours. You deserve this degree. Because of the late Mrs. Bernice Wade Gambrell, I have the opportunity today to try to make a difference and hopefully leave this world better than I found it. I can try to encourage, motivate, and inspire all of us to love, to have compassion on people, respect and racial harmony with each other. The influence that we have on others can span years and generations. Years ago, I received a phone call from my son's homeroom teacher asking me to come to the school so that she could speak personally to me about a matter. You know, the dreaded phone call from a teacher. I arrived at the school with a very heavy heart, concerned about my son. The teacher thanked me for coming, and these were her words to me. There's a boy whose name is John. John is white. The children call him a nerd. John has severe acne. When he walks down the hall, they clear a path around him. He sits alone in the cafeteria. When he raises his hand to answer a question, the kids laugh at him because of his accent. I need to tell you that your son has made a difference in John's life. Out of all the children in the eighth grade, Black or white, rich or poor, your son started sitting with John in the cafeteria. Tyler is late for his own classes so that he can walk John to his classes. Mrs. Floyd, John is now a happy boy. With tears streaming down my face, I left the classroom and went to my car, where I thank God for my mother, who years earlier instilled in me the value of making a difference in the lives of others, regardless of race, Black or white, or socioeconomic status, rich or poor. Her teachings have now spanned another generation. Mrs. Bernice Wade Gamble, my mother, was the best thing that ever happened to me and to my family. Tyler told me he and the young man reunited on Facebook. The young man thanked Tyler for being his friend in high school. Tyler said to me, Mama, I believe John was on the verge of committing suicide in school. So you see, by your beliefs, by your words, by your actions as people, we can lift the lives and spirits of those we meet and truly make a difference in their lives. If not for my mother's encouragement during elementary and high school, I don't know where I would be. You see, I never had another Black teacher after first grade. All my teachers were white. But I made it. The odds were stacked against me. If I had given up, I would not have been successful. I would not be working as a professional. I would not have a job. As a scared little girl, I would not be managing the nearly $150 million of assets of Create Foundation. Through my job, I never thought that I would be interacting with bank presidents, college presidents, hospital presidents, business owners, lawyers, and doctors. As a scared little girl, I never thought that the past president of Itawamba Community College would contact me and ask me to be the commencement speaker for a college ceremony. I stood before hundreds of graduates and hundreds of people. As a little girl from the Red Hill community in Blue Springs, I never thought I would be standing before audiences, sharing my mother's story. I never thought I would be having an opportunity to have my mother's story recorded. I never thought that for almost 14 years, I would be writing a monthly column in the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal about my opinions. And as Sarah said, another friend and member of this community, Tupelo, Mississippi, introduced me to this sweet lady, Sarah Berry, an author in her own right and a local publisher. Sarah used my presentation to write the story in children's book form. We collaborated on Mama's story and published a children's book. I never thought that I would become an author. That scared little girl in second grade is an author. My son Tyler said, Mama, what a surreal moment to see your name on a book and on Amazon. I celebrate the magic of education. It has opened so many doors for me. I celebrate the magic of writing. We had a book signing at Reed's Bookstore, which was phenomenal. We had so much support from people of all ethnicities throughout Northeast Mississippi. I never imagined that people would donate monies to help get this book into schools and libraries. To date, over 5,000 books have been donated. I never dreamed that this book would be submitted to the Teachers' Choice Awards. And for 2019, we won a national award in the category of family. Believe me, this would not have happened if not for my mother's teachings and instructions in our family. You see, all of us have choices. I could have easily been bitter, a racist, unproductive, no motivation, no love for people. I could have been a dropout, a part of the statistics in Mississippi. I could have allowed all of those negative situations in my life to affect me, just as my mother impacted my life. Each of us continue to have a chance to impact this world with our abilities to make a difference in the lives of people. All of us have the power to influence the many people we come in contact with daily. It doesn't matter about race, nationality, or socioeconomic status. What does matter is this: you can effectively make a difference in someone's life. How do I know? Let me tell you about a great leader in our community who helped me. Jack Reed Sr., 36 years ago, asked this question to an all-white, mostly male board at Create. Why can't we hire Juanita? She has a degree. She's qualified. She's trustworthy. I move that we hire Juanita. Because of that one decision from one person, my quality of life, my family's quality of life changed and improved. While standing in the Reed's bookstore, I recall the decision that Jack Reed Sr. made on my behalf for me to be hired at Create Foundation, and how ironic that 32 years later, I was standing in his store autographing books. One decision by one person. So you see, you can effectively change someone's life. There's a movie that's been around for over 50 years called It's a Wonderful Life. The movie revolves around an angel, Clarence, who helps a man, George, by showing what life would have been like if he never existed. Clarence wisely shows George how much his life has mattered, all the lives he has touched and the contributions he has made to his community. And eventually, George begins to understand the differences his absence made. Clarence said, "Strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives. And when he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he? You see, George, you've really had a wonderful life. Don't you see what a mistake it would be to throw it away?" Sarah, what would our world be like if you had not been born? Your life does matter to someone. All of us can touch the lives of so many people with our gifts and abilities, with our service, just like George in the movie. In closing this presentation, one of my favorite quotes simply comes from an unknown author. There are two dates on every tombstone. There's a birth date, and there's a date of death. And every human being is guaranteed those two dates. But that little dash that lies between those two numbers is what defines our lives. So make your dash count. Live, really live. All of us have been given a dash. Your dash is in your hands. Think about your dash. Ask yourselves, what can I do with my dash? Can my dash change my little corner of the world? How can I make a difference with my dash? Believe it or not, all of us hold the key to someone's life, just like my mother, Mrs. Bernice Wade Gambrell, during the summer of 1969. That concludes my presentation, Miss Sarah.
Well, I am just sitting here just thinking once again how thankful I am that you're my friend, and how much your mom's story and your story has impacted my life, and it's made me want to be a better mother, influencing my own children. And you know, Juanita, as you know, I have seven children, and three of them are married, so I guess I have 10 children. And, you know, they can make their mark on the world. They can make a change in our world in the area of racial reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And I hope and pray that I have influenced them towards that, like your mom influenced you.
Right.
And you know, when you were talking, you know, one thing that came to my mind is that stated that we have a shared common faith, you know, and what popped in my head was that one of the 10 commandments says, honor thy father and mother.
Mm-hmm.
It is the only commandment that has a promise attached to it. And it says, honor thy father and mother, that it may go well with you,
well with you.
Your, days may be long upon the earth. And
that's
I was
right.
thinking of knowing your accolades, and you did not even mention even a smidgen of you only mentioned a smidgen of all the different things. I mean, you've stood before our state legislature and been honored there and lots of different things. And I feel like that as you've continued to honor your father and mother, it has gone well with you. And I'm very grateful for that. But anyway, and your ability to love and forgive. I was also remembering when we had our book signing at Reed's that you spoke about. Do you remember how the line was just going all the way through the store and
yes.
out the door? The line was so long it was going out the door. And you and I paused for a minute between signing books, and we looked at all the different faces. And there were
right.
black folks, and there was white folks, and you remember there was an Indian family.
Yes.
And all these different, and my little Chinese children that we've adopted, two kids from China. And so it was just this beautiful sea of different ethnic
backgrounds
that was just so beautiful. But as you recall, one of the most profound moments was when, you know what I'm going to say.
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, when they're a big, burly, huge white man that waited in line for about an hour, finally made it up to the table. And he said to you, "I bet you don't remember me, do you?" And of course, I know what that's like at a book signing. That's so scary, you know.
Yeah,
and
I don't know you.
You're like, oh, you don't want to admit it. But he said, "I was in your second grade class." And tears just started crying.
Yes.
And I remember sitting there crying myself as you stood up and y'all had that embrace of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, was he one of those mean boys? You probably don't even remember.
No.
But he may have been.
He may have been. You're right.
And yet there has been that forgiveness, and it was just such a profound and beautiful moment that we were able to have there with that man. And just like, that's why you have to keep telling your story. That's why we had to do a book, because there are sometimes in our world today that we just think, you know, these problems are just too, you know, have too much of a history. It's just been too long. It's not possible to change. But I think that you proved the world wrong about that.
Oh, yes.
And I hope that our friendship also proves the world wrong about that. And just the scene that I have in my head of you and the big burly white man hugging each other with both crying. I mean, that proves the world wrong.
It does. It does.
Some people think reconciliation can't happen, and that's just not true. So, anyway, I guess those are the thoughts in my head, and I'm just so glad to be able to sit with you today and rehash this conversation that we have had multiple times. It gets me every time. I'm just so grateful to be a part of being able to help you tell your story, and mostly just grateful for your friendship. So anyway, I guess we'll just see how we can change the world going forward together.
Amen.
Okay. So I guess